This is Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas.
It's Ellie Goulding.
Hi, we're the Hooves from Wales in the UK, and you're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
I am Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited and actually a little surprised that Kevin McGrath is back with us again. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Ken. Hello.
Now, Kevin writes about, Kevin's been on a couple times before, and I'll put the links to those episodes down in the show notes. But if you don't know, Kevin writes about music and film for Wales Arts Review, a juror for the Welsh Music Prize, author of Pop Hack, and a debut collection of music reviews and interviews. Is all of that still correct?
Yeah, all correct. Yeah.
Okay. He's also the guy behind some really amazing albums. Have Yourself a Merry Indie Christmas, Volume 1 and 2, which came out in 2022, a third volume that came out last year, and now Have Yourself a Merry Indie Christmas, Volume 4, which is just out. Wow, that's a lot of Christmas music. I counted it up. Volume 1 and 2 each had 54 songs. Volume 3 had 35 songs. Volume 4, just out, has 65 songs. That's over 200 songs. Wow. And this, and I say wow, it's just an amazing collection of songs. And if you love Christmas music, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of stuff there that you need that you probably have not heard before. And it's just an amazing set. And I want to talk about all this Christmas music, but first I want to talk about the charity that it benefits, Crisis UK. What can you tell us about that?
Thanks, Ken. Yes, it's a charity that's pretty well known in the UK. It helps homeless people all year round. But the money that I'm raising goes to a branch of the charity called Crisis at Christmas, which specifically provides a Christmas dinner, a bed for the night on Christmas Day, and then ongoing health and mental health checkups on into the new year. So it's incredibly moving to see the work that they do. We've always, as a family, supported Crisis at Christmas just by very small donations each Christmas. So when I was looking for a project, I put my love of Christmas music together with Crisis at Christmas. I thought it would tie in, it would make sense, and it's been successful.
How did you, when you started this, and I know we've talked about it before, but when you started this for the first pair of releases, how did you get so many artists? Is it just perseverance? Was it luck? Was it something else?
It was a bit of everything. When I started, I couldn't have imagined how many fantastic Christmas songs were out there that I would have never heard of by bands and singers that I'd never heard of. I mean, it's a pretty big world we live in, and there are fantastic artists working at, you know, city level, state level in America or whatever, small towns in Britain and throughout Europe, which have wonderful creative people who sometimes make it to a national level and sometimes don't, not always dependent on the quality of their songwriting, just on the chance and opportunity that life might present them, doesn't quite come their way sometimes. So I was turning over so many brilliant songs that I thought, I've got to write to this artist, and I really want this song on the album. And in the end, that I got so many and had to divide it into two volumes of 54 tracks each, as you say, and sort of bung them out together. which didn't perhaps wasn't the most sensible way of going about it. But it just had so many tracks. I just could not believe how many great songs I was getting.
Yeah, it is amazing. 208 songs across 4 volumes. And just to sort of put that in perspective, this time of year, there are a lot of radio stations, especially at least here in the U.S., that go all Christmas, and meaning they play all Christmas music all the time. But I'd be surprised if they had that many different songs that they play, because you hear the same ones over and over. So this is a massive set, and it's such a deal. You know, even if you don't think about the charity, just the deal, 65 songs on volume 4, and that is, how much is that?
£7.
Okay.
I think someone did it on the net yesterday. It was £8.50, I think, or $8.50, sorry.
Okay. So, so for less than the cost of one CD, one album, 65 Christmas songs. That's an amazing deal. And then when you add that into that, it's going to support Crisis UK. I can't even imagine someone who loves Christmas music how you could come up with any reason not to get this. I mean, it's just
you're my marketing man. That's pretty much. You can't afford not to buy it. Yeah, absolutely.
it really is. And I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, a shill for you, but just the deal on this many Christmas songs. It's an amazing deal. And then when you consider that the money is going to Crisis UK, it's
a no-brainer, isn't it?
People it is.
It
really is. So, not to try and, you know, pick your favorite child here, but what are some of the standouts that people should know on these 65 tracks?
On volume 4, it's pretty much the same pattern as the other volumes, in that there will be some names music fans will recognize, especially if they're indie music fans in that genre. You know, each of the albums has fairly big names. One or two of the albums have artists that have topped the charts in the UK, and there'll be bands that were quite well-known cult bands who have appeared in the charts now and again, but mainly been successful on a sort of independent label basis and so on. So on volume 4, the biggest name on volume 4 would be Grandaddy. And it's been interesting to get the response of artists when they see the track listing. I've had a few emails through, I'm in the lineup with Grandaddy, this is fantastic. And it was the same thing a couple of volumes ago when The Wedding Present, who had a very big indie band in the UK, they've had, I don't know, 20, maybe 30 chart hits in the UK. When they were in one of their volumes, and I had a lot of bands contacting me, said, I'm on with a Wedding Present. This is a dream come true. So that's been quite interesting. So, but it's more often than not, and this is what I've loved about it, it's bands that I've never heard of that have been the ones that have produced real surprises. I mean, just there are dozens and dozens and dozens of songs on these volumes that from artists I've never heard of before, but who've just made some wonderful records that will stand the test of time. They're good enough to stand alongside any Christmas classic you would care to name. So that's been a thrill of it. There've been some personal favorites for me. It's always fun to have someone on an album that I've already had in my rec collection. So, you know, I've had Suzzy Roach was on one of the volumes, and The Wedding Present, an Australian band called the Lucksmiths are on this album. They might be my all-time favorite jangly pop band. I've got about 10 of their albums. They split up, you know, a good few years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago, if not more. But they were good enough to make a track available. So it's all sorts of hidden treasures. Plus, if you're into the genre, then there'd be quite a few recognizable names. Yeah.
Were all of these tracks previously released, or did any of these bands do something special just for you?
Yeah, in the first couple of volumes, there were, I think, 6 or 7 tracks that were written especially for the project. what I've tended to find on Volume 4 was that I had some of the artists writing the song because they usually do an annual Christmas song. There's quite a few indie bands that do annual Christmas songs, bands like The Ornaments and The Very Most, and they and Hayne Moon from Germany. They were keen to say, you know, do you want this track for your collection? So in a way, that was perhaps in their mind when they were writing it. But the first couple of albums, definitely, yeah.
The first couple, the first two, I think you had said you spent the better part of a year putting
yeah.
that together.
Yeah, and it started in February, yeah. And it came out in December, so yeah, 10 months, yeah.
And versus this new one, how long did this take you?
Well, this is interesting because I wasn't going to do a Volume 4, and I only decided to do it, I think, in October. So I got 65 tracks in about six weeks, something like that, 6 or 7 weeks. And it's because I had already made a lot of connections with bands, with labels, and I also knew where to look on the internet, where the first time around, I was like stumbling around in the dark. I didn't have a clue of what sites like Christmas Underground and Christmas Agogo and many others. I didn't have a clue. It was a painful process trying to find artists and stuff. But once I knew where to look, it was a lot easier. Plus, I resorted to absolute desperation this time around because it was going to be the last one. I wanted to go out with a bang, so I was determined not to let standard drop. So I ended up sitting in front of the computer on Discogs, just putting in the name of every independent label I could find in all my books and the rest of it, even if they'd gone out of business. And I would sit there and I would type in keywords like Christmas or snow or winter or Santa to see if it brought up any tracks it ever released via the label. Then I would listen to them to see if they were any good. They would often be by bands I'd never heard of. And then I'd have to see if they still existed. Many of them didn't. And then if I could contact them and so on. So it was desperate, really, but only because I'd already had enough for three albums, but I kept on doing that because I couldn't stop. And that's why I've ended up at 65. And I set out trying to get 15. I thought, oh, short notice, I'll just do 15, a conventional album. But I found I couldn't stop myself. I had to keep on trying to get a better and better album put together. So,
I remember when we first talked and the first two volumes came out, that it seemed like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like it was such a long process, and you released the albums and then it was like, wait, I've got a couple more tracks, and you added on to this one and to that one.
Yeah.
Has that happened with this? Do you have extra stuff?
Well, I was disappointed not to get a couple of tracks over the line right at the end. There was one track which, if I'd have got it, it would have been possibly my favorite track on the album. It's by a band I'd never heard of again, and it's a track called "Santa Is Coming to Freedom," and it's the sort of premise of the track sounds horrible. It sounds as if someone would make a right mess of it, but if they pull it off magnificently, it's basically about children in a war zone, and that is obviously, this was written I think in 2020, but it's very reflective of the times we live in, and it's basically about them having hope through hearing Christmas music and dreaming of Santa coming to free them from their surroundings. So it could have been a really awful cliche, the horrible mess, but it's a beautiful song, beautiful melody, beautifully sung, even gets away with a bit of a Santa narration at the end. It's so good. And they contacted me and said, yeah, we'd like to be a part of this. And then over the last couple of weeks, it never quite came together. And I was so right until I pressed publish on Bandcamp yesterday, I was hoping that that would come through. But if it does come through now, I'll just stick it on the end. But yeah, I was a bit gutted about that.
And, you know, being an indie collection, these are not the same songs you hear on the radio or in department stores every year. This is not full of 10 versions of Jingle Bell Rock or Last Christmas or Mariah Carey's song.
Yeah.
These are all original tracks.
Yeah.
This is just amazing.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to avoid. I mean, I love Christmas classics. I grew up listening to my dad's, you know, Perry Como Christmas Greetings album. I still play that all the time. And Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole. And then I was 10 or 11 when glam rock sort of struck in the UK. So you had Slade and Merry Christmas and Wizard, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Everyone was doing sort of glam rock Christmas songs. So I loved all that. But I wanted to avoid covers of all those songs. As you say, there's plenty of them out there already. Some really good ones. And you can have a bit of fun with the form, absolutely. But it's basically been done over. And I thought if it was worth doing, to find original songs would be the key to it, because that's an exciting thing for me anyway, because you know, I had the odd modern Christmas album that I liked, a band called the Pearl Fishers, who were on two of the volumes. They had a little mini LP, Sunflower at Christmas, which I always used to play to my kids in the car and whatever, to our kids. And so I knew there were good Christmas songs out there, but, you know, it was just absolutely bemused by how many there were. It was incredible. And I mean, there were a lot of songs I didn't get, you know. I probably failed with as many songs as I succeeded with in terms of songs I would really have wanted, just because you just can't get bands to come back to you, you know, just especially the bigger bands. You can send them a message on Bandcamp, you can email their sort of contact details on their websites, but you never hear back. So, you know, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, because some of those songs, although they were good songs, they weren't quite as good as the songs I was getting oftentimes from bands I didn't know. But because the purpose is to make money for Crisis, I would have wanted some of those bands in there, because that would have given the chance for the album to get a bit more impetus and make a bit more money for Crisis. So it was a bit of a balancing act. I would have had to have thought about that if I'd have been more successful with the bigger names. But as it turned out, I barely was. The really big names. And there are lots of very cool indie bands have done Christmas songs, you know, the Eels, you know, just one off the top of my head. But there are loads like that, Cribs, loads of them. But you just can't get in touch with them. Yola Tango, loads of them. So it would have been nice to get a few more of those. I can't hide that. But I wouldn't have swapped the way it's turned out, really.
Yeah, this is, I don't mean to keep saying wow, but this is an incredible collection. And I don't want it to sound like I'm dismissing any of the classic songs that we all know and love that you hear so many times this time of year. And there's a chance that some of these artists have recorded versions of Last Christmas or whatever.
Absolutely, they have.
And that's fine. We love all those. What I'm just saying is that this is an amazing, enormous collection of songs that you may not have heard, that you may not know by heart. And if you love Christmas music, you got to check this out. I'll put a link down in the show notes to it. But it's just incredible, track after track after track. You may not love every single one, but come on, there's 65 songs.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I was determined to do from the outset was to make those tracks as accessible as possible. I mean, I've got an eclectic record collection. I've got some, you know, love for some very mainstream sounds, Motown and you name it. I like my sort of Johnny Cash country and all the rest of it. But I've also got some very weird records in my collection. But I was determined to sort of keep it as mainstream as I could, as melodic and as accessible as I could, because I wanted people to buy the album and donate money to the charity. And I thought they would do that if they could hear a song, you know, within one or two plays, they would get it absolutely. So I was looking for melody. I was looking for catchy songs, as well as them being original, having something different and unique about them. I was hoping it would appeal as well to just, you know, a casual music lover if they heard the songs. So I would argue that, you know, you could just hit on any number of those 65 tracks. Just go on Bandcamp, just pop in 32 or click on track 12 or whatever, and you will find a unique original track. But also you'll find it very easy to listen to. These are songs with lovely melodies or interesting melodies, catchy choruses, you name it. But also, they also write about things that maybe other Christmas songs don't cover. So there's a wide range of subject matter within Christmas. There's a song on the first volume called Shopkeeper's Lament, which I quite like because it's all about a guy in a shop who is cursing the advent of Christmas and having to listen to Christmas compilations all day, every day in the store where he's working. And I thought that, and it's a great song. It's very cleverly done. And at the end, he relents and he says, I can listen to it on the 24th, but not before, please not before. So I thought it was quite good, given that I was putting this stuff out in November.
You know, I feel like I keep saying the same thing over. It's almost overwhelming that there's so much on here. And I see the Ravenettes, track number 4, certainly a group that we all know. And it's amazing to see them next to some of these others. And I feel like, you know, when you can just scroll down the Bandcamp page and you see all these names and then you see a couple that you know, it makes it feel like this is definitely something I want to check out.
I mean, it's interesting that because there are some names which we say across the Atlantic or whatever, like the Ravenettes. But there are other names that you perhaps don't necessarily know in America. People who love their indie music would know there was a very important label in the history of indie pop music called Sarah Records, and they were the sort of cult label where all these lovely young fresh-faced indie boys and girls started to record their songs. They invariably ended up on Sarah Records. It ceased to exist a fair few years back. Well, there are a couple of good books you can get on Amazon about the history of Sarah Records, but there are 4 bands who recorded for them in their heyday that are on the album on Volume 4: The Orchids, Brighter, Boy Racer, and Northern Picture Library. So there are interesting little gems that maybe people in this country might know. And the opposite of that, I chanced upon an artist who I didn't know, hadn't heard about. And it's the last track on the volume and therefore on the project, which is Gustafur Yellowgold. And that was a name that meant nothing to me, but apparently he's a twice Grammy-nominated artist for writing children's songs. But I'd never heard of him. And he passed away a few years ago. So I contacted his family and they were very interested in having that song on the album. And they let me have it. So there are little gems and surprises. Some people might know that name. Most people in the UK probably wouldn't.
I didn't know the name, but I was streaming the whole thing this morning, and I came on that track, and I was like, "Why haven't I heard this before? I love this."
Yeah,
it's a song called "Fa and Allah."
Yeah,
and it's just a great Christmas song.
Yeah, and when you read up on the guy, Morgan Taylor, his name was, he was a visual artist as well, so his shows would be animation. He was an animator, the animation audio, but he ended up opening for Wilco and Polyphonic Spree. So an interesting character. And he was only 52 when he passed away, sadly. But yeah, I'd never heard of him. And if you go on Amazon, you see all his stuff on all his books and children's DVDs or whatever. It's all over there. It's a sort of cartoony character, this Gustafur Yellowgold. So those are the interesting things that popped up as you were just, you know, researching stuff on Bandcamp or Discogs or whatever. And you never knew, and that was part of the thrill of it, you never knew what artist or sound you were going to discover next, you know, within the genre.
You know, one of the things that I love about Christmas music, and I probably say this on almost every episode of this podcast, but one of the things that I really love about it is that Christmas music is probably the last genre where it is okay. It's just accepted that you have such a wide variety of types of music. And the truth is we all like lots of different kinds of things. You know, you were talking about Perry Como and Slade you know, you wouldn't think of them together, but Slade has the, you know, a Christmas song you have to hear at least once every year.
Yeah.
And Perry Como, a lot of his stuff is just ingrained in the season.
Yeah. Two
very different artists, but
yeah.
you could see them side by side on a compilation. I've probably yeah. played them on the Sound yeah. of Christmas Station back to back. And that's a lot of, I mean, Perry Como was not an indie artist, not on this collection, but that's the kind of thing that you'll find here, that it is a lot of different kinds of stuff. And the truth is, we all love that anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I know that I have asked you last time you were on and the time before about more, and both times you said no. There's no way. That first time it had taken you almost a year to put it together and you were so done. And then we got volume three. And then last year you said that was it. It was a nice cap on it. And you were done with it. And now there's this massive 65 song set. And I have to ask if there will be a volume five.
Well, I could say no, but as you've already highlighted, my word means nothing. I'm just a compulsive liar on these matters. I don't intend for there to be no. I think I have reached the peak of the mountain. I mean, 65 songs. You know, on one level, it's ridiculous to try and top that, because, you know, I would start to get into the realms of three figures or something on a compilation, and it gets a bit crazy. So I think probably not, but it's pointless me saying no, absolutely not, because I just haven't lived up to those promises in the past.
Well, and the other thing that you have sort of learned in this whole process is that you don't have to decide now about next Christmas.
Yeah.
Because you started on this 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
And in 2 months, you've put out the biggest volume yet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, pretty sure, that people probably email you or message you with ideas for other songs that you should have, don't they?
Yeah, I get a little bit of that. Perhaps not as much as you'd think. I think one of the disappointing things really is, I mean, I suppose it's understandable because it's only me. I don't have any marketing or any way to promote these albums really, other than fans of Christmas music who like a good self or presenters of certain radio shows or podcasts or whatever will get in touch. But most people don't know these albums exist, in all honesty, which is a shame. I haven't been able to get, I was hoping, it's a bit of a childlike hope, I suppose. I was hoping someone were, you know, in this world of tweets and social media where someone can go viral, there was someone, some influencer or some star would say, oh, this guy's doing a great thing here for charity, and I would tweet to their 10 million followers, you know, that it'd be worth popping on and paying £7, which it would be, but it's not happened yet. So, but you never know. These things will be out there every year, and who knows, next year somebody might say, yeah, I'm putting Brad Pitt in a Christmas movie. I'm looking, he's managing a small band. I'm looking for an original indie song, you know, and who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, that would be terrific. And any chance any of the artists that have been so kind as to give you a song would send out the word to their fans?
Well, I do ask them to to put it out there via social media, and I assume you know that they do. You do see the odd thing going around, and which is brilliant, but it hasn't burst through yet into the that realm where just ordinary people know about it. At the moment, it's a very niche group of people who've heard the album, and I'm reaching with, you know, with my own very limited media presence.
Well, it's also being Have Yourself a Merry Indie Christmas, and being that they're all indie artists, it is probably tough to sort of break through to the everyman.
Yes.
Who, you know, and...
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want it to sound like I'm an elitist snob, and you know, and there are people out there who like hearing Mariah Carey and Wham and Jingle Bell Rock and that's their Christmas, and that's what they want to hear.
Yes.
And they don't know White Horses or the
no,
Orchids.
No.
And there are some people who you're
you
not
make an interesting point there, Ken. That White Horses
yeah.
song, that like Mariah Carey could release that and it would sell trillions. There's
yeah.
such a beautiful, up-tempo, catchy song. It would be a smash. But yeah, as you say, it's the name recognition that these bands don't have with the general members of the public. If they heard these songs, these are not difficult songs to like, you know?
Right. There's, you know, I had the whole thing playing all day today and probably yesterday too, and a good chunk of yesterday anyway. And there was nothing that came on that made me go, nah, let's skip to the next one.
Yeah. Nothing to frighten the horses on there, Ken.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was tempted with one or two tracks. I suppose the Ornaments was close as I got last year when they had their Cold Wind, where there's just a song with two people leaving phone messages for each other. But it's, and then one guy has a bit of a mental breakdown on his call. That's probably the weirdest the album gets, but it's a great track. It's like a little short story. And I think people could, given the subject matter of two on and off people in a relationship having a misunderstanding as to why someone hasn't turned up, leaving a horrible, angry message. And then the answer phone rings and it's the first person. Oh, yeah, I'm not here because I've got caught in a snowstorm, but I'll be coming back for Christmas. And by then, of course, he's already broken up with her over the phone. It's a lovely little short story, but that's about as weird as it gets. The rest of it, you know, your granddad or your grandmother could probably sit down and listen to and it wouldn't to cause him any offence. There's one or two punky songs, I have to confess, but
and there's Granddaddy's song about Jeff Lynne showing up.
Yeah, how funny is that?
yeah. I remember somebody had, I had seen, I think it was a podcast, where somebody had mentioned that they had come across a Jeff Lynne Christmas song. And I thought, okay, I know Jeff Lynne and ELO, and I don't remember them ever doing anything. And this was, you know, and this was the song about Jeff Lynne showing up with his sunglasses on. And it's just, it's a hoot. It's just funny,
yeah.
And it's great. And it just, you know, every one of these songs fits is another thing. No matter how different they might be from one another, they all fit. This is the kind of thing that you could start playing it with White Horses, the first track, start playing it and just let it go.
Yeah.
And you could
yeah.
go about decorating your tree or having friends over or whatever you're doing, and it all fits together. There's nothing that just suddenly, oh, I gotta change that. it all works together. It's just a terrific collection. So
yeah.
Kudos to you for putting this together. Not even about the charity, just that this is just an amazing collection of Christmas music.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then when you add to it that it's going to a homeless
yeah.
charity at Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you said, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. 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 That's the way I see it. Yeah.
Click the button and buy it. And
yeah.
then click it again and buy it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Because I do notice one of the things that on Bandcamp is that there is almost always an option to send it as a gift.
Absolutely. What a gift for Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you know, not to see how much money I can shake down out of anybody who's listening, but if you know somebody who loves Christmas music, I bet they don't have these songs. And you can send them all four volumes, and it's an amazing Christmas present. It doesn't set you back much money.
Yeah.
And you've sent them over 200 Christmas songs that they probably don't have.
And they will be astounded by many of those songs. They will
yeah.
absolutely love them. Many of those songs.
Yeah. Yeah. You listen to these four albums and you will have a new favorite Christmas song.
Yeah. That's
unquestionably. So, what is there about any of these albums that I haven't asked that you wished I would have?
Now, I think you asked me this once before and I couldn't think of anything then because you covered it in such wonderful detail that I think I'm in the same place again. I think, you know, we've been into the nature of the songs, the charity, the fact that these are original songs. I don't think I've got anything to add. It's It's just a matter of going on to Bandcamp and just typing in Have Yourself a Merry Indie Christmas, and you'll find the four volumes side by side. And I think sending them as a gift is perhaps I should message that to my Bandcamp followers. It did very well yesterday. It raised over £2,000 yesterday alone for
wow.
The crisis. So, but I think, yeah, I might put a message up saying, have you thought about sending it as a gift? Because I haven't really pursued that angle. But as you say, it's always there on Bandcamp. Yeah. Maybe I should try and just pursue that a little bit.
And I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but when you put out the first two albums, you also put out a limited edition CD of selected songs. Any chance, I'm sure it's too late this year to try and put that together, right?
Yeah, I'd be interested to. I'd love to do it because I'm from the era of physical music, and I don't even. Well, I don't think I have any downloadable albums, or very few. But in the car, we listen to the stuff in the car, I suppose, that way. But other than that, I'm a vinyl and CD person, just my age, really. So having that selected CD was a big thrill for me, just to have that. I put that next to my Perry Como Christmas Greetings album in my collection. That and Mary Chapin Carpenter's Come Darkness, Come Light is the one I play first every Christmas. So I sandwiched it in between them, and I had a look at that, and I had a little tear in my eye to think I was alongside Perry Como. So yeah, I'd love to be able to do it, but the funding for that came from a South African record label called Subjungle, and the guy who runs it is not a fan of Christmas music. I didn't know that at the time, but I've discovered it since. When I was looking at Subjungle to see if any of the bands on Subjungle had recorded Christmas songs, so I could, and there's one that I found on that ended up on Volume 4, which was Alpine Subs. I started to see Darren's reviews of records at Christmas, and he would invariably put a jibe in about Christmas music. And then I saw his review of my compilation, where he said, oh, there's one man that can make me think again about Christmas music. So I don't share his negativity about Christmas music, but even though he didn't particularly like Christmas music, he contacted me and said, if you want me to, I will finance you to put together 100 CDs. And so that was like out of the blue. I didn't know the guy. And he was in South Africa. So that was a bit of a one-off, I think. If I had a chance to do it again, maybe, you know, pick the best from the four volumes or something, a double CD. If I could find someone to back that, I would love to do it. I had a bit of a thrill over that, although it was a bit of a nightmare posting them off all over the world, because post-Brexit, all our export rules have changed. So I had a few bounce back from different countries that didn't have the right forms and so on. So it was a bit of a nightmare in the run-up to Christmas.
I would imagine that it would be really difficult to come up with 14, 15, 16 tracks out of 208.
Yeah.
That would be really tough.
Yeah. You're always going to be leaving off. I mean, I wouldn't like to, I've got a rough idea if I had to pick my 10 favorite songs, but I mean, they would change anyway. 2 or 3 weeks later, I would probably pick, you know, 7 or 8 different ones, because there are, you know, such a lot of very good songs on there. So when I did the 17 out of 108 for the CD, I picked 17. I tried to justify it by picking because the label, the Subjungle label, is an indie pop, jangly pop speciality label. I tried to pick most of the songs that fitted in to their ethos, because it was coming out via, well, he said, look, don't put our names on. We don't want to take any credit for it. But I did thank Subjungle for on the sleeve for financing it. So I tried to pick songs that I thought might fit in with their, you know, with their ethos. So, yeah, but picking them on the basis of which ones, no, that would be a horrible task out of 208 songs.
Yeah, that would be tough. Well, I'm going to put links in the show notes down for each of the four volumes, and I encourage everybody to go check these out. It's such an amazing deal if you love Christmas music, and to be able to help Crisis, especially at this time of year, what a wonderful bonus to be able to do both of those things. I know on Bandcamp there's a contact link. Does that go to you?
It must do. There's no one else.
Okay.
Yeah, there's probably a contact Viva Valindra or something, is it? Which is the first album I did for the hospital. So that's ended up as the label name, I think. So yeah, it'll say that. Yeah. But it's only me, so it can't go anywhere else.
Okay. So there's that link on the Bandcamp page, and there's also links to you on Tumblr and Twitter.
Yeah.
And those are probably the best ways for people to connect with you. All right.
Yeah, I have some. Yeah, it's been nice to hear the messages coming back from people who bought the album. It's been really nice to. I had one chap today saying he's looking forward to putting it on, looking out of the window at a snowstorm, which I thought, yeah, that's how I'd like that album to be listened to. If only it would snow here in this part of the world, but we get very little now, and then what we do get doesn't stick. So it's a nightmare. No chance of a romantic, snowy view when I'm listening to Volume 4.
No, you just have to put on, I know there used to be, there probably still is, video of a log in the fireplace. Yeah. There needs to be one of a snowstorm. You can put that on.
That's what I need. Yeah.
Kevin, congratulations on this. This is amazing.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you.
And I hope that you somehow, like giving birth, that you forget what a process it was and that a year from now we're talking about Volume 5.
I'd like to think so. Okay. Let's leave it on a more optimistic note this time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much for coming on and talking about this and just for doing this.
Pleasure.
This
is thank terrific. You. Much obliged to you.
And thank you so much for listening and helping us share some Christmas spirit and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.